In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, we have the longest section in the Bible on the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is correcting and rebuking these Corinthian brethren because they had abused the Lord's Supper. They were meeting at the right time on the first day of the week, and they were having the Lord's Supper in the worship assembly where they should have had it. Because the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 7, that the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. So in those aspects, they're observing the Lord's Supper as they should have been. But there was a problem. And the problem was that there were some in the church at Corinth who were bringing other foods into the Lord's Supper, and those people happened to be rich or wealthy people. And in that same worship assembly, there were poor people who didn't have enough to eat and were in fact hungry. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul rebukes these people by saying in verse 20, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." I want to notice a few things that are taught, and some of these are implied in this section, but these are very important for us to remember when we talk about New Testament worship today. In the first place, this passage shows that just because a thing is right outside of the worship assembly, that doesn't make it right inside the worship assembly. In other words, sometimes you find that people say that anything that you can do in life that is right and scriptural is something that you can do and offer as worship. But the Bible shows that worship is a special time with specifically authorized acts or observances, one of which is the Lord's Supper. Now, what this passage shows is that you can't say, well, eating a meal is a harmless, innocent thing, and so whatever we can do outside of the worship, we can do inside the worship and offer that as our worship or our homage to God. These people were bringing in other food and adding it to the Lord's Supper. They were having their own supper instead of the Lord's Supper. So this shows that the Lord's Supper is a distinct observance with specific foods. It is the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. So no man has the right to change that. No man has the right to say, well, I don't see anything wrong with having, let's say, Coke and pizza on the Lord's table or Kool-Aid and cookies. And if you think that those ideas sound far-fetched, let me remind you that there have been churches who have actually done that. They have actually used those foods instead of the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. So it is not true that just because something is right in life in general, that you can make that a part of worship, because worship is a special time. It is a special event. And the acts of worship that we engage in are to be authorized by God. Otherwise, there would be absolutely no point in God telling us in the New Testament to have the Lord's Supper, or to have the giving, or to have the praying, or to sing, or to have the preaching of God's Word. If there's no difference between worship and what you do in your everyday life, then there wouldn't be any point in the Bible talking about these things at all. So there's nothing wrong in your personal life with playing a ball game, or watching a good movie, or playing checkers. But that doesn't mean that you have the right to bring those into the worship assembly and do those as, quote, acts of worship. Now again, those might seem to be odd examples, but people are doing just about everything in churches today and calling it worship. They're lifting weights, they're playing ball games, they're even having rodeos and circuses and calling that worship to God. And all this results from a fundamental misunderstanding of what worship is in the Bible and especially in the New Testament. Now, joined with this principle, and that is that just because something is right in your everyday or personal life doesn't mean that you have the right to make that a part of worship because God has given us the things that we're to do in worship, there is another matter that we've already touched on, and that is the authority principle. What I mean by that is when God tells us to do something, we don't have any right to add to that. So when God said that we're to have the cup, which is the fruit of the vine, and we're to have the bread, which is the unleavened bread, because that's all that was available to those Jews when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, because they removed any kind of leaven or leavened food from their houses, well, that means that we are to use exactly what God told us. We're not to add to it or take from it. That means that we have no right to bring in hamburgers and hot dogs and French fries and steak and mashed potatoes or anything else. And here's the point. The Bible does not have to specifically say, you cannot have hamburgers and French fries and steak and mashed potatoes on the Lord's table. It doesn't have to do that. Why? Because God has told us exactly what we're to do. One of the old illustrations that is still very meaningful and still very powerful is what God told Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, God said, make an ark of gopher wood. So Noah had no right to say, well, I'll make the ark, but I'll use some other kind of wood. I'll use a different kind of wood. God specified, God told him exactly what to do, and Noah had no right to add to that or to take away from it. And this is the principle that we're looking at here when it comes to the Lord's Supper. No man has the right to change what God has instituted. Now, on a broader level then, this means that we have no right to bring into worship things that God has not authorized. So if God said to sing, we're to sing. If God said to pray, we're to pray. If God said to give and to have the Lord's Supper and to have the preaching, we're to do those things. And so there's absolutely no authority in the New Testament to offer animal sacrifices or to burn incense or to use instrumental music or to do any number of things that the Bible does not give us the authority to do and call it worship to God. There's another matter that I want to discuss that pertains to this passage, and it's because of what we read in verse 22. Paul said, what have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Since Paul shows a distinction, a difference between where they were worshiping and their own private personal houses, that means that they were meeting somewhere else besides their own houses. Now, what kind of building it was, we don't know. And it could be that the wisdom of God has left that out, because if the Bible had talked about church buildings and described those church buildings, then you would have all kinds of controversy about the kind of church building that we're supposed to build. And then, of course, you would have all kinds of questions and debates in addition to all the controversies that we have already about what you can do with that church building other than worship in it, of course. So what we find then is that this passage implies that a church building is scriptural. A church building is authorized of God. So we would say by implication, because the Bible implies this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, that a church building is authorized by God. Because they're meeting somewhere else besides their houses, that means there is some place. Now, whether that is a piece of ground and whether they have put some kind of shelter up over them, like a thatch roof or walls or whatever it may be, it's still some kind of place other than their own particular house. So the Bible does authorize a church building, but it does not specifically go into detail about that church building. Now, this leads us to another question, and that is Paul saying in verse 22 that it would be wrong to eat a meal in that church building outside of, that is, after or even before the worship service? Usually that happens after the worship service because he says, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? And the answer to that question, the question being, is Paul saying it's wrong to eat in a church building? The answer is no. That's not the context. That's not the idea at all. Paul was talking about them eating in the worship assembly. It was them eating while they were supposed to be worshiping God that was wrong. It wasn't the place where they were doing it. It was the setting. It was the activity. It was wrong for them to turn the Lord's Supper into their own supper. That's what Paul is condemning here. Now, you might ask, well, why does he say then, what, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Well, here's a question about that. If Paul is saying that the only place where you can eat and drink a common meal is in your house, then what about going to a marketplace? He's already talked about that in this book. What about going to a restaurant? What about getting something to eat through a drive-through window and eating in your vehicle? If Paul is trying to say here that the only authorized place for you to eat a meal is in your own private home, then that would leave out all of those things, and that cannot be. Several times in this book, Paul talks about what usually happens and sometimes what ideally occurs. For instance, Paul is saying to these people here that if you're going to act like this and if you're going to shame these people that don't have enough to eat, you need to just go home and eat. Now, that doesn't leave out any other circumstance or any other place to eat. He's simply giving the general rule here. The same thing occurs in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And that's where he tells these women, if you are going to learn anything, then ask your husbands at home. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 35. Well, what about asking their husbands on the way home? What about asking their husbands in the church parking lot? You see, Paul is not trying to cover all those circumstances. He's simply saying that this is where this particular activity would normally or usually occur. So he's not trying to rule out all those kinds of circumstances. So when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, don't you have houses to eat and to drink in? He's talking about the norm. He's talking about the usual. So the idea that you cannot ever eat in a church building, and of course, I'm talking again about eating after a worship service outside of a worship assembly. That idea is oftentimes based on a misinterpretation of this passage, and it's also based on a very inconsistent practice about what you can do with the church treasury. Because the same people that say you cannot use what is given into the Lord's treasury to have a meal in a church building or to provide a space to have a common meal in a church building don't hesitate to use that money to pad their pews, to buy an air conditioner for the building, or to build a bathroom and to supply all the needs for that bathroom. And yet they will criticize and even withdraw fellowship from churches who have, let's say, a kitchen and a few tables in a part of their church building. The bottom line is this. If the Bible does not even specifically mention a church building, if the Bible does not even specifically describe a church building, then how can anyone set up a specific set of rules for all churches about what you can do with that church building in these matters of judgment?